Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson in the house. Just started her second term as Secretary of State. I was trying to remember who was her opponent in the 2024 elections. I can't remember who her opponent was, but I know she won by 20-plus percentage points. Secretary Jacobson, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here in studio today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a beautiful day, beautiful drive from Helena, and just it's an honor to be here with you.
Well, and I've got a beautiful headline in front of me here. Secretary Christy Jacobson supports logging oil and gas projects estimated at more than $1.2 million. And that's really just kind of the latest. There's been several headlines like this where you and the state land board members are, you know, trying to get more timber projects going and bring in more money for the schools, et cetera.
Absolutely. We've had record number of timber sales and oil and gas leases. And the amount of money that we're generating for the schools has just been, it's been more competitive with the process and getting more bids with the oil and gas leases and just modernizing that. And so it's been generating a lot more money for our schools.
It's remarkable, too, as we talk about, you know, entering wildfire season and, you know, dry conditions in parts of the state of Montana. We have seen this consistently now over the past few years where because the state has been more aggressive in, you know, A, forest health initiatives, but then B, aggressively fighting these fires under Governor Gianforte. Not only does it bring more revenue in for our schools through these state lands, but we can also very clearly see the difference it makes when it comes to how devastating a fire might be.
Yeah, I think Montanans are loving that, the aggressive approach with tackling the fires immediately and not letting them get out of control. But it absolutely is a spotlight to make sure that we're taking care of our forests. And when we just had a fire in Helena, a couple of them, and the one was put out immediately. And so it's really good to see immediate action on all fronts.
Well, one thing I was thinking we could do, it's great to have you here in studio. Of course, we'll take calls from our listeners across Montana as well. But I feel like everybody would really appreciate like an election integrity primer. Because our state legislature put in so many great election integrity laws. The governor signed so many great election integrity laws, supported by you and your office, of course. But then we get these radical left-wing judges and justices on the Montana Supreme Court that then halt any of these election integrity measures. So we'll talk about that and much more here after the break. But I'd also be interested in hearing what the Trump administration is doing when it comes to election integrity measures, especially given President Trump's, you know, a personal, you know, a desire on that front in particular. So stand by. We'll talk more with Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson here right after the break. We're taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app if you want to jump in on a conversation that way. Or, hey, send me a note via x.com/Aaron Flint.
As Sidney Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right into it here with Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson. Madam Secretary, I know you've described Montana's elections as a gold standard for integrity. And yeah, we do it a lot better here than many other places across the country. But But yet, even still, our left-wing Montana Supreme Court and some of these tyrants on the bench, if you're listening out there, those of you who attended the so-called No Kings rallies, we've got these tyrants on the bench who will overturn simple, basic election integrity laws. Give us kind of an election integrity primer. Voter ID, same-day registration. What's been done, what was blocked by the courts, but what's still in effect right now?
Yeah, so in 2021, we had the same-day voter registration, changing same-day voter registration, voter ID, and cleaning up the voter rolls. We were challenged with the voter ID and same-day voter registration. Cleaning the voter rolls was able to stay in place, so that went from, for our county partners, it went from cleaning the voter rolls from every other year to every year. And we have solid data and numbers of how many registrations that were inaccurate or people had moved and whatnot that had been updated and removed, so we didn't have ballots floating around that didn't belong to people. So that was a big win in 2021, and we went all the way to the United States Supreme Court with the other two bills, and at the end they decided not to take the case. So they let the Montana Supreme Court, which is the most liberal Supreme Court in the country, as everybody knows, those rulings stay. So in the last legislative session, we had more additional bills on voter ID that tackled all of the issues from the previous one, along with adjusting the registration on election day so the county officials could do their number one job, which is to have order and get the ballots counted and get the results out so we know who our new leaders are in the state. And it removes the chaos and the lines that people, you know, when they show up to register at the very last minute and they're standing in line at, you know, midnight to register to vote. We've adjusted that so our county officials can get their work done, get the results out, and focus on that on election day. And then voter ID is also back. And voter ID is something that's absolutely a nonpartisan issue. If you look at both sides of the aisle, everybody wants voter ID. It's like 90% of Montanans want voter ID. So we implemented those laws, and the playbook from the left is to file a lawsuit, and usually we find out about these lawsuits from the press. They call and ask for a quote, and when they ask me for a quote on my latest lawsuit, they're kind enough to give me a copy of the lawsuit that I have not yet seen. So we're battling the courts again. And just, I mean, it highlights the importance of the 2026 election, which we're already looking at. And we have an opportunity with our Montana Supreme Court to make a change there.
Yeah,
and hopefully
I've heard this Judge Amy Eddy, who apparently is the latest Democrat mega donor, out of state funded candidate of choice. She's just a far left judge in Flathead County right now. But thankfully, Judge Dan Wilson is going to run for re-election. It sounds like you're supporting his efforts heading into the next election cycle. I mean, it's so critical. If you support voter ID, election integrity, so many other common sense things, we need a Supreme Court justice that will be fair to Montanans and not just basically bought and paid for by these out of state Democrat Party mega donors that are funding all these lawsuits against election integrity in Montana.
Absolutely. It's out of state, dark money, and the arguments that are made are just absurd and ridiculous. And we need a court that is common sense and puts all of the garbage outside and just looks at the facts. And voter ID, election integrity, those are no-brainers for Montanans.
The people who oppose voter ID are always crazy. They always like to call everybody else racist, but then their argument is that, well, Black people can't get, they don't know how to get ID cards, or Native Americans don't know how to get ID cards. Well, then why do tribal elections require a voter ID card? It's like, I mean, the people who call everybody else racist are actually trotting out racist arguments to oppose an ID card by claiming that minorities aren't smart enough to figure out how to get an ID card.
Absolutely. It's completely hypocritical and absurd. Everybody has access to ID. You need an ID for everything you do. And to say somebody or some group doesn't have access to an ID is just not a valid argument anymore. And I think the absurdity has just been called out at a national level thanks to Trump. And when he listed his executive order on all of the election integrity, Montana has done most of that. We're still room for improvement. We have the death of a loved one bill that went through, and that's just helping family members when they lose a family member to be able to remove them from the voter rolls easily. So we're doing a lot of common sense improvements here in the state that are standing.
Yeah, you mentioned President Trump's election integrity executive order. Interested in hearing about more of the behind-the-scenes conversations with the Trump administration as well when it comes to election integrity, and especially, you know, the radical left is on the march. So what kind of shenanigans might they pull next year? Stand by.
The Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get to your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Real quick, I want to talk same-day registration here with Secretary of State Christy Jacobson before we get to Esther and Bozeman, who will be first up. So same-day registration, it's such a mess. It creates so much chaos. You know, the Democrats and the liberal judges, they'll say, oh, well, we have to have same-day voter registration because for senior citizens, for Native Americans, for people with disabilities, it's too hard to register to vote. This is more of their kind of racist arguments that they make. Oh, Native Americans can't figure out how to register to vote. This is what they say, not us. 364 other days out of the year, they have to do it on the same day. Because for me, like, I've got a bad lower back. But if I were to describe myself as a disabled voter, the last thing I want to do is stand in line for 8 hours to try to register to vote and then vote. I mean, back in November, because the liberal courts overturned the, you know, the fact that you had to register to vote before Election Day, you had people, it was 2:30 in the morning, the morning after the election, and people were still standing in line in places like Gallatin County to vote. So same-day registration just creates chaos. Tell us what the legislature recently changed and how we're now moving forward.
Yeah, so we've actually expanded voter registration. So it's it'll be available on Saturdays now, the Saturday prior to the election. So the day of the election, our county officials can just focus on getting the results out. And the Saturday before now will be open for anybody that needs to register to vote.
Yeah.
So we've expanded it.
So there's more opportunity to register to vote, especially now in the digital era. It is so easy to register to vote.
Yep.
It's like they deliberately want to create the chaos on Election Day.
Yes, and they have. They create chaos by having last-minute fiascos. They try and they always push for allowing ballots that are envelopes that are postmarked by the election day, so there's never a start or an end date to an election. That's why they've expanded voter registration, 30 days, all of that stuff. It's so there's never a start date and there's never an end date. I mean, that's what their strategy is to create chaos and to not to have any structure or rules around our election system or voting. So we have a really good system, and we need just to make sure that we hold the line on wrapping up the election on Election Day. We get the results out. We know who our leaders are, and we move forward.
It's not supposed to be election month. It's supposed to be election day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how most Montanans always remember it. I think most Montanans would be very shocked when they found out who is actually behind all of these lawsuits as well, and how much money they make flying in to Helena from Seattle to fight against our election day election integrity laws. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. First, though, let's go into the phone line. We've got Esther in Bozeman first up. Esther, did you have a quick question or a comment? Thanks for the call.
Oh, well, it's not a very... Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
Esther, can you hear me? Oh, yeah. Now I'm on here. Yeah, I'm traveling in my truck. I have some... I'm going to hold Christie's toes to the fire, and I'm hoping you'll take this as constructive criticism. I have been part of the election integrity team from Gallatin County, and we've had in the last election over 200 errors that we don't feel your office has looked into. We've had dead people voting. We've had reports from the county going in that do not match the reports that were on file from your office. We've had reports of errors and vulnerabilities with the voting machines, especially with those thumb drives where we had the problems in Butte where they had 1,000 extra votes that were attributed to votes that were left on thumb drives. And I have not seen your office especially promote one solution that would take care of a lot of that, which is precinct counting. Having the votes hand counted at the precincts, maybe before they go into the tabulator machines, or having a more rigorous investigation and certification of the tabulator machine.
All right. Yeah, so two interesting topics there.
Let's
start with hand counting of paper ballots. I know some folks have talked about, hey, why can't Montana hand count paper ballots? You know, there's entire countries elsewhere in the world that they can do it in a day.
Yeah, well, I know somebody mentioned comparing ourselves to France, and we would never want to adopt something that like France would be doing, that we're the United States of America. Just wanted to say thank you so much, Esther, for all of your work looking at the voter rolls, and that is so important, and I appreciate it so much. Just highlighting a few things here. Trump endorsed me as the Secretary of State of Montana to lead our elections. And because we have integrity in our elections is how we were able to overcome Democrat John Tester and all of his money and all of his shenanigans and strategy. And that's why, because we have voter integrity in Montana, that's why Tim Sheehy is now our senator.
So in terms of when it comes to the paper ballot, so that's just something that you don't see ever being a possibility.
We have paper ballots.
Or the hand counting, though.
We have paper ballots, and the legislature had no appetite for changing the laws to hand counting, and it's kind of actually a Democrat strategy to have hand counting, because then you would never have an end date to the election. It would go on forever. It gives them time to find more ballots, and we would be way beyond election day.
Esther mentioned Butte, and yeah, that was a great catch last year, a great job, you know, in election integrity outfit. We had State Senator Mike Cuff on the show at the time, and they found some discrepancies in the Butte primary election, and great job by them identifying it and then fixing the situation.
Absolutely.
For our listeners who recall but don't remember all the details, what went wrong there, and then what were they able to identify?
Yeah, so absolutely. That was really, really great work, and it gave an opportunity to continue to improve, and that's exactly what's been done. We now have an expanded audit. So the paper ballots that we have are audited. So we have the election day, it ends, And then our counties are now required to go back and hand count the paper ballots and make sure that those numbers tie to the counting that went through the machines. So we have a safeguard in place now due to this great work and making sure that we have an audit so the numbers tie after the election.
And you've consistently called, so has the legislature and the governor, called for more audits of our elections. And it's Absolutely. Interesting, the Democrats have also consistently opposed more audits of our elections. And it's like, we have audits in every day-to-day business. The business world always does routine audits, but the Democrats don't think we need to do that for elections.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no surprise there. They also opposed changing our constitution to say that only citizens can vote in our election. We needed those votes in the legislature, and the Democrats failed once again to do so.
Yeah, that was a crazy vote. They didn't even want to support saying only citizens can vote in elections.
Yes.
And we had two non-citizens that voted in a municipal election in Dotson, Montana, just a few years ago.
That's
so they
correct.
Can't say, well, this isn't happening, when we know it's happened, even here in Montana, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So it should be no surprise that they don't support expanded audits.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Kalispell. John, did you have a quick question or a comment? Thanks for the call.
Well, I did. And Christine, you're doing a great job out there.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
And I have an interesting point. Same-day voter registration never happened until, I believe, 2005, and that was put in by a Republican by the name of Brad Johnson. And the Republicans very closely, well, actually, it was a 50-50 split in the House in 2005, and we voted that stupid thing in. I did not. I know Representative Senator Sales didn't vote for it. But the thing is that if the legislature can give it, why can't the legislature take it away?
Absolutely.
And that is exactly the problem with our black robe type judges out there.
Yes.
They think just because the legislature give it, that they then can't take it away. And that's a bunch of garbage.
It is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Everything you said is the absolute truth.
What a great point. If the legislature can give it, if the legislature was allowed to institute same-day voter registration and then find out that it's a train wreck, it's a mess, it causes chaos, why can't the legislature then take it away?
But as he pointed out. Right. Why can't our Supreme Court see that plain as day?
Well, I think they can, but
they choose not to.
Who funds their campaigns?
Yeah, exactly.
Democrat Party mega donors, ACLU, Planned Parenthood, all of the very same groups
Perkins
who
Coy,
then file all these lawsuits.
Hillary Clinton.
Perkins Coy. You got to exactly what I wanted to get to here. So Perkins Coy, as I understand it, they're the law firm that was behind the Russia hoax. And so, to me, like, these people should be thrown out of our courts for what they did to our country with the Russia hoax against the president of the United States. Yet these people fly in here and they get paid, what, like $500 a half an hour to come in here. The Democrats fly them into Helena and then they're the lawyers leading the charge against our election integrity laws and so many other things. That's the law firm that's behind all of this.
Yeah, that was something I tried to take the lead on with the banning foreign funding. We had a banning foreign funding bill on ballot initiatives because we're seeing the same thing with ballot initiatives here in the state.
Yeah. In fact, we had Representative Braxton Mitchell from Columbia Falls on the show talking about that. And then I had the Commissioner of Political Practices. The Democrats and a handful of Republicans watered that legislation down, but the COPP still thinks he's got some teeth on it to enforce it. So hopefully that's the good news there. All right, stand by. We'll get to more callers. Tom in Billings, you're up next. We've got phone lines open for you as well.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Agridime, a Texas-based cattle marketing company, has been ordered to pay nearly $103 million in restitution after being found by the CFTC and the SEC to have operated a Ponzi scheme involving cattle contracts that falsely promised investors returns of 15 to 32%. The U.S. District Court for Northern Texas issued a permanent ban against Agridime from commodity trading and entered default judgments against its co-founders, Joshua Link and Jed Wood for personal gains totaling over $2.2 million. Although Agridyne claimed to have assets in cattle and meat inventory exceeding $140 million, audits found much less, just 9,900 head of cattle, many not owned by the company, and only $20 million in meat. Over 2,100 investors across 15 states were affected. The company had less than $1.5 million in cash when regulators intervened in late 2023. A potential $15.7 million sale of Agridyne's assets to a North Dakota group recently fell through, prompting the court-appointed receiver to move toward liquidating remaining assets. Also last week, the Senate Ag Committee released their agriculture provisions under the budget reconciliation package. Similar to the House bill, it does include conservation programs gaining $16 billion and specialty crops also being added in the funding coverage. The bill also cuts $211 billion from SNAP over a decade. I'm Lane Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, let's go back to this topic of foreigners giving money to our ballot initiative elections here in Montana. Secretary of State Christy Jacobson, you had supported the legislation to crack down on this, to rein this in. And yeah, I mean, foreigners are not allowed to donate to our federal elections, and it's so outrageous. You know, I've got the Save the Cowboys, Stop the American Prairie Reserve sign here in our studios, which is funded by foreign financiers like Hans-Jörg Wyss. Well, Hans-Jörg Wyss is the guy, he's from Switzerland. He's a radical leftist just like George Soros and Tom Steyer and the rest of them. He's the guy who's been dumping money into ballot initiative campaigns here in Montana. Why that wasn't already against the law is beyond me. But do you think that even though the legislation got a little watered down in the legislature, sounds like the Commissioner of Political Practices believes he's still got some teeth behind it to be able to enforce it. Are you confident that bill will at least hopefully rein this in?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope there's teeth in it, and I hope he takes action on it, because I think it's something in Montana that absolutely cannot be tolerated. And we saw so many different deceptive practices with the ballot initiatives. And there was just, folks that are hired from out of state. They don't do the reporting. It's sloppy. It's incomplete. And all of those numbers added up to, you know, having a huge impact really on our state. And so I think looking forward, this, you know, just keeping the foreign funding out, whether it be with the court system or the ballot initiatives, all of it. We're Montana, and we do not want outside interference with our.
Well, yeah, it's just amazing to me because they can't and shouldn't be able to donate to a governor's campaign or to a legislator's campaign. But yet you can, and the idea is that, well, they pass laws, they sign things into law, but ballot initiatives also pass laws and sign laws. Ballot initiatives change our entire freaking Constitution.
Absolutely.
So they can't go fund one legislator over here, but they can fund a campaign that supersedes all 150 of them and the governor.
Right. It doesn't make any sense that we don't allow any of the foreign funding for any of the candidates, but then we would have the ability to have foreign funding on policies like ballot initiatives, like you said, that are at a much higher magnitude affecting all of Montanans.
Yeah, like, you know, my family plays whist, you know, this good Scandinavians from Northeast Montana, we're whist players, but my Southern friends introduced me to spades, so they have like their trump card, they have the spade. Well, that's what these foreigners get, is they have their spade to go in and play that trump card to over. Well, and frankly, the Montana Supreme Court right now is another spade that they've got in their deck of cards.
Yeah, because the liberals have figured it out. It's the Supreme Court. This is what's left in Montana from being just solidly conservative. The Supreme Court and the ballot initiatives. That's the playbook, plain and simple.
Well said. Let's get to our next caller on the phone lines, and the phone number for you, 406-294-0970. Tom in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
I just a comment about why don't we go back to the basic paper ballot and count them in the precinct and report to the central office. to where we can go back and check and keep track of it. And be a little bit, keep track of the votes.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, when was the last time we...
Thank you so much for your
did,
question.
We did hand counting of paper ballots. We got paper ballots, but when's the last time hand counting was done?
Yeah, I mean, when you hear people... there's folks that say they want paper ballots in Montana. We have paper ballots in Montana. You vote on a paper ballot. Those ballots are saved forever. They're saved... they have a retention after the election. So we have paper ballots. They are saved in Montana. We do not have electronic voting in Montana. That was something else that was pushed by the left last time. Planned Parenthood got behind an initiative trying to push, have folks vote electronically. And that is something that we do not allow other than for our military folks to vote electronically. So we have paper ballots, and we have to make sure that we hold the line on that and hold the line on not allowing electronic voting in our state.
All right, I'm just going to fix that microphone cord. I'm giving you some feedback there with that cord. No, you're good. You're good.
Did you hear that answer?
We heard it. It was just giving some background noise.
Okay.
That was my mistake there.
Okay.
So we got to fix now. 406-294-0970. A couple of other topics I wanted to get to on top of the election integrity is your role as Secretary of State with the state legislature. So, you know, one of the questions people are still wondering about is, hey, when are we going to hear if the governor either signed or vetoes these big spending bills? A lot of people are hoping the governor vetoes a lot of this spending that came out of the legislative session. And some people are saying, hey, it's June 17th. How come we still haven't heard? A lot of people assume that when the legislature wraps up, when they sign a die at the end of April, early May, that, hey, 2 weeks later, the governor signs the bills or he vetoes them. But there's a lot more to the process.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The fun continues. And we are witnessing it firsthand at the Secretary of State's office. We conduct the veto polls. So any of the bills that the governor vetoes, we conduct the veto polling with the legislature. And the ones that qualify have to have passed by 2/3 or more. We have all of that information posted on our website, and there's been a number of them. There was one that was recently overridden that helps Colstrip and the water in Colstrip. So that one was overridden by the legislature, 2/3 to qualify to have a veto poll, and 2/3 required to override that veto. Recently, that where all the money is, House Bill 2, House Bill 4, and House Bill 5, the big money bills the governor has right now, and he has the ability to line item veto House Bill 2 without an override. So when he's the final say on that.
So when he line items that spending,
that's done.
It's done.
It's done.
And is that because in order to have a veto override, that bill should have had to pass by a 2/3 vote in order to be overridden? Is that why? Or is it the line item just can't be overridden, period?
Yeah, that's correct. And then with the House Bill 5, those line item vetoes in House Bill 5 can actually line item by 2/3 require the legislature to be pulled on that. So House Bill 5 might go for a while. House Bill 2, when he has to hold the line on the spending, balanced budget, no debt, and an ending fund balance that has a certain amount of operating reserves, all of that criteria has to be met. So when's the deadline?
When's kind of the drop dead date of here's when he needs to take action, especially on House Bill 2, for example?
Yeah, we're going to see that in the next week or two.
Next week or two. Okay, very interesting. What? Any thoughts on, you know, the big debate is you've got, you know, more moderate Republicans like Lou Jones saying, hey, state budget with House Bill 2 only and these other bills only increases spending by 2%.
Yeah, and that's actually not correct. What we've done across, what I've done at Secretary of State's office, I have completely held the line. And not only have I held the line on the spending and the hiring of new employees, I've cut our staff in half. Half. If you think about that, it's incredible. And that is something that Montanans want and that we need to do as a country. Our spending is so out of control. And what we've seen with DOGE, we've been able to do here at the Secretary of State's office in Montana, and the rest of government needs to follow suit. Like, for instance, Public Health and Human Services.
So you think that these spending bills that came out of the state legislature are far above and beyond the 2% that some are claiming that?
Yeah. I mean, Public Health and Human Services is a 15% increase of general fund. That is unsustainable. And those kind of double-digit increases are unacceptable. And so the governor's going to have to hold the line on the spending, and he's going to do it. There's just no choice.
Amen. Good to hear on that front. Yeah, great to hear your voice weigh in on that one. By the way, I forgot to ask, behind the scenes, talk about some of your conversations with the Trump administration and what they're focused on with election integrity measures nationwide. You talked about the executive order on election integrity. What else are you talking about behind the scenes?
So Trump and his team have done a really good job partnering with the states. And Kristi Noem is committed to helping us get better information on illegal citizens and making sure that we have that information. And then Department of Justice just taking all of the voter crime seriously and streamlining the information from other states when they're trying to get people removed from the voter rolls and the information back and forth, that we streamline that process. So a lot of really good partnerships moving forward.
Well, and it's kind of like the illegal immigration conversations. The election integrity is kind of the same thing. There's the problem children out there in this executive order highlighting election integrity and other actions on illegal immigration enforcement. It's mostly targeting those blue cities and those blue states that are the problem children in the country right now, allowing all this chaos in their streets. All right, let's see, quick break here. More to follow with Montana Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson. If you call in right now, we should be able to get to you before we wrap up this hour of the show. We also want to talk business and the Secretary of State's role on that front, and just how good business has been in the state of Montana since we went red, especially.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was just telling the secretary and her team here, a great friend out of Butte, America, rolling around with the crew here today. I was just telling them, hey, you should pick up, especially, big outdoorsmen here. I was like, you got to pick up a bottle of this Power Plus Paint Aid. I've got some samples here in the Montana Talk Studios. Big Fork Montana Marine, Lee Ettinger, he built this product. You know, he's like you. He likes to work hard and play hard. He's a Marine Corps veteran, lives in the Flathead Valley. I got to meet him back in D.C. during President Trump's inauguration. So he created his own energy drink. It's not just an energy drink, though. It's also got pain-relieving vitamins in it. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid, natural vitamins in it, along with the energy. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 15% off your orders. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, drinkpowerplus.com, and then use the code FLINT15 at checkout. FLINT15 at checkout. Get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. Another Montana business there.
I love it. Yeah. I'm running the Wolfman in Butte. It's a 14 K trail race on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So I'll give this a try and I'll report back and tell you and I'll rate it on how well I do. It'll all be based on the trying the product, but that's an awesome.
The Wolfman, that's the run?
Yeah, it's just a 14K trail race on Saturday.
Just a 14K. Yeah. I think I did a 15K in Africa. And that was a ton of fun, I was never that big of a runner. I just ran because the Army made me do it. I was more of a sprinter. I was never a distance guy, but now I got a bad back, so I can't run like I used to, but I miss it some days. When you talk about that race.
Yeah, I'm doing that, and then I'm also doing the rut in Big Sky. Have you heard of the rut?
I've heard of the rut as well, yeah.
So I'm doing the 21K, and that's about 13 miles and 14,000 elevation. And that's about 4 hours of just solid gutting it out, and it's really fun.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, that's probably part of the fun of living in Helena, too. I used to love, we'd run up Mount Helena right there.
Oh, yeah. I do that every morning, 5:30 in the morning, all before work.
Yeah, now I can hike it, but I mean, I could run it if I had to, but it'd be like, ow, 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 in my lower back the whole time. Yeah, but
so I'm looking forward to trying this. It's, let's say it again. It's the PowerAid.
Power Plus Pain Aid.
Power Plus Pain Aid.
Yeah, there you go.
So thanks for sharing that today.
Yeah. So let's talk business since we're talking Power Plus Pain Aid here, Montana business. Record filings for and
record, you know, businesses.
Record businesses. So we are absolutely everything.
Yeah, we're open for business in the state of Montana in a big way, and our numbers are there to prove it. In the last 4 years, we've had a record number of new businesses starting in the state. It just goes to show the red tape relief, being business friendly, it works, and that's what the numbers show. We've got a record number 2020, 2021, and most recently in 2024, we had 64,000 new businesses start here in the state of Montana, and we're on trend to do that again in 2025. So in April, we had another 6,000, 6,700 businesses start here in the state.
What's driving it? What would you say is driving it? I mean, I can give my answer, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of our values, conservative values. We're pro-business, getting red tape out of the way. As Secretary of State's office, we offer our businesses to file and get started 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got the lowest filing fees in the country. We've cut the new filing fee in half. And we've also completely eliminated and waived fees, annual report filing fees for 274,000 businesses in the state of Montana. So it's just all of those things.
Well, and then, I mean, the state has consistently gotten more and more red, which means lower taxes, like you say, less regulation. And then a lot of people, you know, fleeing these other states. So that comes in that, you know, that's more businesses that are needed to service more residents.
Absolutely.
And everything. But, we could have
been. And they're welcome, as long as they're not going to change our values. They're welcome to come and enjoy our state, but as long as they don't try and change our values.
That's right. What do you think might happen in the midterm elections next year? I mean, we saw these, you know, by the thousands, these radical left-wing protesters in the streets, you know, across Montana, even this past Saturday. But it just looks like they're only boxing in the Democrat Party even further.
Absolutely.
Into these crazy positions.
It just doesn't work. It's just proof. It doesn't work, and they don't get the message, which works well for us because it's just like putting the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I mean,
when you see the crazy stuff that goes on. I mean, our country and Montanans do not want to see that.
Well, Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson, great to have you in the house here on this show. Thanks for being with us. We look forward to having you in studio again.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
All right. One thing I want to I know everybody's wondering about the Israel-Iran situation. This is what Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy had to say on Fox News yesterday.
We've been talking to Iran for 45 years, Kaylee, and the reality is they've been killing Americans and killing Israelis for decades. Their national foreign policy is death to America, death to Israel. So every time we try to be reasonable with them, I mean, look, we had the Biden and the Obama administrations that spent 12 years giving them everything they wanted, loosening up sanctions, allowing billions of dollars to flow into their economy through oil sales, and trying to treat them with kid gloves and hoping by being nice they would change their behavior. What we've seen, obviously, is they're trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth yet again. That hasn't worked. President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu's behavior has worked. Now guess what? After we've bombed the hell out of them, now Iran wants to come to the table and make a deal. That's how you deal with a murderous, duplicitous regime, and it's working, so let's keep it up.
Well said by Senator Tim Sheehy, who, of course, lost a lot of friends in military troops that were targeted and killed by Iran.
Hi, I'm